All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Well, here we are. This is week one of a program that we're jumping into called Spring Life 2009. And in a way, this is sort of the, for lack of a better term, maybe the Wesleyan Church's answer to the season of Lent. You know, we're not a really liturgical denomination when it comes down to following the traditional church calendar. But the days leading up to Easter and during Easter and after Easter still have a lot of significance. And so today marks kind of a jumping point for us as a church that I really believe some of the material that I'll be going through may revolutionize how you relate to people in your community, how you relate to people around you, and you know, how you can invite them to become part of what Christ is doing. So that's what this is really all about. So today's message is entitled Come and See, and we're going to be looking at the Apostle Philip. You know, we don't read a lot about Philip because there's not just tons of stuff written about him in the scriptures. But we're going to look at a couple different situations that he found himself in and how he responded and how we can learn from that. So what I want to do first is read from John chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 43 through 49. We're going to be talking about inviting. We're going to be talking about initiating life change in people's lives through inviting. So here we go. John 1, 43 through 49. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Now, before I go on, Rose, are you handing out those little devotional sheets? Okay, Rose is handing out something that you may want to use this week. It's basically a five-day devotional, very short, but I'll make copies of these for each week, and they might give you a jumping-off point for your time alone with God this week. If you'd like to have a copy of those, there'll probably be some on the back table as you leave as well. But she's passing some of those out now. And I think the idea is there's five of them on there. You got Monday through Friday. And it just gives you something to read, something to ponder, and something to pray about as we launch into this Spring Life program. All right. Now, regardless of belief systems or values, it feels great to be invited to something, doesn't it? Especially if it's supper. Or if it's like to a restaurant and somebody else is paying. Or a game and somebody else bought the tickets. You know, to a concert, on a vacation. You know, I mean, I don't know many people that invite others to go on vacation with them. Yeah. How many of you saw What About Bob? Yeah, no, not quite like that. I think we did invite Lisa and Rachel to go on vacation with us one time, but that's because it was free babysitting, right? We got something out of it. But anyway, it feels good. You know, kids that like to be invited to birthday parties. You know, and when you're invited, that communicates perhaps love. It communicates value and significance. And the reality is being invited resonates with every human being because it speaks directly to our need to belong. So that's your first few blanks there. Being invited resonates with every human being because it speaks directly to our need to belong. I remember all the drama and the angst that goes with being in junior high school. Some of you remember a little show that used to be on ABC on Friday nights called Boy Meets World. It was a great episode when they were in junior high school, waiting to be invited to the party of the year. And they went through this creative sequence during the episode where the popular girl, as she was walking through the hallways, handing out the invitations, you could see the look of dejection and rejection on the faces of those who she would walk past and snub. and the look of joy and utter excitement when you actually received the invitation to go to the party of the year. And Corey was so excited that he had gotten an invitation, but his buddy Sean didn't, and that didn't make any sense to him. Well, it turns out the girl's mom found out about the party and made her invite all the good kids. And so he was really disappointed because it was not the party of the year. But the reality is when we're invited to things that, in our mind, we think matter, it makes a difference to us. Because being invited resonates with every human being. All of us has that need to belong. My home church, that's their slogan, you belong. You know, a lot of times y'all hear people say things, well, I just don't belong in church. I'm like, well, you don't think you belong, but you were made to be part of the family of God. So the reality is you do belong. Doesn't matter whether you feel like it or not, you belong. You're supposed to belong. You're meant to be part of God's family. As followers of Christ, we have the opportunity and the mandate to invite others to experience Jesus. When we read through John 1, it gives us some practical clues about what it means to invite others to experience Jesus, which is kind of what Philip did for Nathanael. We're also going to look into Acts chapter 8 a little bit later and see Philip at a later stage in his life, and we're going to see how he interacted in a different kind of situation and followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. So right now we're going to start by talking about the power of an invitation. The power of an invitation. Number one, inviting starts with a relationship. It starts with a relationship. If we go back to verse 45, it says, Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now, Philip invited Nathanael to come along because he knew Nathanael. Now, it's possible they were related or they were just friends. We're not always quite sure of the relationships between some of the apostles. Some of them were related, some of them fished together, some of them were in business together. Philip invited Nathanael within the context of that relationship. Now I want you to think about this for a minute. God has placed people in your life that you and you alone are able to invite because you have a relationship with them, or at least the potential of a relationship with them. So that doesn't really let you off the hook. Doesn't really let you off the hook, has it? So I want you to ask the question, who do you know? Because God has placed you within a unique sphere of influence and has given you unique relationships with others. Isn't that a great word, unique? How do you catch a unique animal? Unique up on them. Yeah, okay, right. We can edit that out later, right? We'll just, yeah, okay. Anyway, you are the only person, you are uniquely placed in your sphere of influence, and you have a unique set of relationships. There are people that you will be able to draw to Christ, that you might be able to invite to church, that you might be able to invite to become part of what Christ is doing, that no one else will be able to. Boy, that leaves a bit of a heavy on you, doesn't it? Because we're always hoping somebody else will do it. This is where the invitation begins. Who do you know? Who do you know? Who should you know? Who do you have a relationship with? Who are you building relationships with? Who should you be building relationships with? It's not like Philip just, came across some, who's that? I don't know. What's your name? Nathanael. Hey, come on. I mean, there was a previous relationship there that was built upon. Otherwise, Nathanael might have been like, who are you and why are you telling me to come? There was that relationship there. Let's look at the second thing. So inviting starts with a relationship. Inviting demands intentionality. That's not a word we use every day. Intentionality. What does that mean? Well, let's read the verse again. If we look at 45 and 46, so we go back, Philip found Nathanael, told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked, "Come and see," said Philip. See, most of us would be content just to leave it up to others to ask about our faith. But God uses intentionality on the part of his followers to create lasting life change. What do I mean by that? We do it on purpose. On purpose. You see, life change begins to happen when followers of Christ, on purpose, purposefully, intentionally, invite others to experience Jesus within the context of a relationship. Notice that the whole action is surrounding Philip here. Philip experienced Jesus, and then he went and found Nathanael. Then Nathanael's life was changed because Philip made a point to seek him out. He sought him out on purpose and invited him and said, "Come and see." Nathanael went and saw, and he had his own encounter with Jesus that changed his life. So now here's the question. How many Nathanaels has God placed in your life? I know we have one in the front row here, but no, but he's already here, so you can't invite him. How many Nathanaels has God placed in your life? I personally think Ron did a very nice job on the PowerPoint today. Thank you. Appreciate that. Ron struggles late into the evening trying to make the computer do what he wants it to do. Been there, done that. Anyway, thanks, man. The reason the post-it notes are kind of a prominent image is I hope by next week we're going to have maybe a piece of poster board up on the back wall, and we're going to have little post-it notes where you can write names of people that you're going to be praying for over the next 8 weeks. Just first name. Write their name down. Stick it on the wall. Be our wall of prayer. In fact, you can go to the Spring Life website, everysoul.org, and register, and I know some of you have already done that, and you can post virtual post-it notes on the virtual wall on the web and put up family members, friends, coworkers, just first names of people that you're praying for to come to know Christ or praying for needs in their life. It'll just be a really, really fun time. So I hope next week we have that set up with some post-it notes for you to write down some names of people. Nathanaels in your life, not Nathanael, but Nathanaels in your life that you can post on the wall of prayer, which is different than the wailing wall. How many Nathanaels in your life are waiting for an invite? How many of them want to be found? God will use your intentionality to change lives. I want to read you a statistic. Did we get that statistic on the next slide? There we go. Here's a statement from Barna Research Group from a survey in March of 2008. The best chance of getting the unchurched to a church is when someone they know and trust invites them, offers to accompany them, and there is a reason to believe that the church event will address one of the issues or needs that they are struggling with at that moment. Read that again. The best chance of getting the unchurched to a church is when someone they know and trust invites them, offers to accompany them, and there's a reason to believe that the church event will address one of the issues or needs they are struggling with at that moment. Relationship and relevance. I can't build a relationship with people for you. I can only build a relationship with people in my sphere of influence. I can, as your pastor, assure you that I will work my best to make sure our Sunday worship services are as relevant as possible. Let's go to the third point. Inviting starts with a relationship. Inviting demands intentionality. That means it's on purpose. Inviting is experiencing. Experiencing. In verse 46 again, what did Philip say to Nathanael? Come and see. It really wasn't anything more than that. Philip wasn't under the pressure to seal the deal or sell anything. He's just like, man, I just met somebody that I think is the Messiah, and you need to come check this out. Come see. And so, what do I mean by inviting is experiencing? Well, inviting doesn't mean that you have all the answers. Whew. Right? Inviting means that you ask others to join you in experiencing who Jesus is. So when Philip says, come and see, you know, I don't know if he understood this or not, but you know, our responsibility is not to have all the answers at this point. Our responsibility is not necessarily to describe the God of the universe to people with perfect eloquence or persuasion or anything like that. Our responsibility is to invite others to come and see and experience Jesus for themselves. You see, Jesus, not Philip, changed Nathanael's life. Philip just initiated the process. Philip was a willing participant. It's Jesus who changes people's lives. And that's the goal. It's great when you say, you know what, I want you to come and experience Christ with me. I don't have all the answers yet. I'm learning. I'm growing. I have found comfort, and I found wisdom, and I found knowledge in what I'm learning. And I would like to invite you to come and join me in that process. Number four, inviting is partnering. Inviting is partnering specifically with God and what he's already doing. In sales, some people call this the hot lead. That is, the ground has been cultivated, the pump has been primed, the keys are in the ignition. Jesus had seen Nathanael sitting under the fig tree before Philip even called him. God, through the Holy Spirit, is at work in the lives of those around us before we even ask. Do you know that? And that's the beauty of it. God is working in the lives of those people that are already in your sphere of influence. And some of them are about ripe for an invite or a contact or a conversation. Inviting is a partnership between Christ and his followers. Jesus knew Nathanael before Philip knew Nathanael, but it was Philip's invite that brought Nathanael into the presence of Christ, and then his life was changed forever. I think sometimes when we think about the whole concept of sharing our faith with people, or even the simple process of inviting somebody to church, we get a little overwhelmed, like thinking that somehow there's more of a responsibility on us to make all the details happen, to make it all work. I worked, back years ago, I worked with a pastor who often said, make it happen, make it happen, make it happen. And while I understand what he meant, I kind of came later on into my life to realize that I don't really have to make a lot of those things happen when it comes to God working. What I really need to do is let the Holy Spirit make it happen. Get out of God's way. So let's talk about this influence of the Holy Spirit. We're going to jump over to Acts chapter 8 now. So we read about Philip. Just even before he was a disciple of Christ, on how he was impressed with who this Christ person was and what he represented, and he was so excited about it that he felt like he needed to go tell his friend Nathanael. And then he and Nathanael both experienced Christ together. And now this is the Philip. This is on the other side of the day of Pentecost. This is a man who's full of the Spirit of God, who travels from city to city preaching the good news, risking persecution and death, and seeing hundreds of and thousands of people commit their lives to following Christ. So here we are, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out. And on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Interesting to just kind of run across this guy, huh? This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. We get the impression that he may have been a Jewish convert. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else? Now, is that an open door of opportunity or what? I don't know. No, that's not what Philip said. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? He gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. That's one instance in Acts where the Holy Spirit beamed Philip away and sent him somewhere else. It's a great way to travel if it works out for you. But yeah, beam me up, Scotty. All right, so here we have this interesting thing. You know, I mean, Philip, it was in this mode in his life now where he was going, you know, down a particular road because he felt like God had led him there. And then the Holy Spirit prompts him to approach the chariot with this prominent head of state to overhear what the guy is reading and begin to talk to him and find some common ground. And in a short amount of time, perhaps build a bit of a relationship. But what we have is kind of a God appointment of sorts. See, inviting is particularly powerful when the Holy Spirit sets up an appointment. It'll come. Maybe it won't. There we go. Inviting is particularly powerful when the Holy Spirit sets up an appointment. And this is one of those appointments. We have an Ethiopian eunuch in charge of the treasure of Queen Candace of Ethiopia. A very powerful man with a lot of authority, grappling with the meaning of an Old Testament scripture, being what we assume, because he had the scripture, was he was probably a convert to Judaism. And basically says, you know, how can I know what this means unless somebody tells me what it means? And Philip's like, bingo, there's my door of opportunity. I'll tell you what it means. And as a result, this man commits his life to Christ and is baptized immediately by the side of the road in a show of his faith in the Lord. My challenge to you would be, you know, pray to God this week to go before you and open up some doors of opportunity this week to set up some appointments. You know, this is the wonderful part about this. The Holy Spirit is working in people's hearts right now. And sometimes I think we think we're in this alone, when the reality is God has laid all kinds of groundwork and we need to be led of him so that we can find ourselves in the right place at the right time. Often, however, fear of rejection will trump our motivation to invite somebody else to join us, whether we invite them to come to a Bible study or church or just to come talk to them about Christ at a one-on-one meeting at the coffee shop. The challenge really is to put aside our fear of inviting with the simple, important truth that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Look, God has given each of us the opportunity to invite others to experience Jesus. And it's very often through those invitations that God initiates life change. Now, what I want you to do is turn that over, because I want you to write your homework on the back. Big blank back spot on the big blank spot on the back of the sheet. All right, four things. Even if you write down just these simple words, and I don't think we have these on the slide, do we? We do. Just the words, okay. All right, number one, identify. Identify those in your sphere of influence. There are names and faces that you might even be thinking of right now. You know, who do you have a relationship with? Who do you see and interact with on a regular basis? Identify those people. Second thing you're going to do is you're going to pray that God would give you an opportunity to invite that person to church, to a small group meeting, to an event that we might have as a church, a grill out or something, to expose them to the life of our church family. Take advantage then of the opportunity God gives you. Don't, you know, when you pray for an opportunity and the door opens and you look at it and you think, I wonder if that's God answering my prayer. Just go through the door, okay? It's like, don't second guess yourself. You pray for it and God opens the door, just go through the door. So you're going to identify those in your sphere of influence. You're going to pray that God would give you the opportunity. He's going to go before you. He's going to prepare them. Third thing you're going to do is just simply allow God to work in the hearts and minds and lives of those people that you've invited or you're going to invite. He's going to work before. He's going to work after. You don't really have to seal the deal in a way. You don't have to make it happen. Holy Spirit's going to work. You know, turn that person over to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm going to be obedient to you, but I'm going to let you take care of the details. So identify them, pray for them, allow God to work, and then just do it. Just do it. Just go ahead and invite them. And if that means, you know, you have to pick them up or you have to make sure that you're there when they come or whatever, go for it. That's your homework. Don't underestimate the power of a life changed, of what God can do through your simple act of inviting somebody to come and join you in that is in the process of changing your life. If you can say, you know, this is what God's been doing in my life, this is what the Holy Spirit's been doing, and man, I just would love it if you could come and experience this for yourself with us. It's not very threatening, is it? All right. So, let's go ahead and pray together, and let's pray for those opportunities this week to reach out during this time as we think of Easter and what it means as we approach the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Christ and the power that we receive through his resurrection. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you. Thank you for the opportunity to come and learn. Lord, thank you for the privilege of being part of your body. We don't want to keep it secret. We want to continue to experience you for ourselves, but God, we also want to spread it around. The Bible says, how will they know unless we tell them? Just like the eunuch said, how can I understand what this means unless somebody tells me what it means? There are a lot of people out there with questions, a lot of people out there with fears, a lot of people out there with unspoken things. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go, and we have the answers, at least some of them. So this week, Lord, I pray as we spend some time identifying those in our sphere and praying for them and allowing God to work at them, when we invite them to come and experience Jesus with us, that they'll be able to, like Nathaniel, come and see that the Lord is good and experience him for themselves. We thank you, Lord, for your power, the power of your Spirit, the power of your word, and what it is that you're going to do in our midst and in our community. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. All right. God bless. We'll see you next time. You guys have a great week.